Continue in Psalm 23, and we'll look at verse 2 tonight. And then I'll take my time to give you some time, but I did write in most of the scripture verses, I believe, tonight to go along to make it a little bit easier as we go. Hopefully I've left enough room on there for any notes you'd like to make, but if you want to turn in your Bible in some of these areas, I'll try to delay a little bit to give you some time. I don't know about you. I have always been a writer. I've got a new Bible here. It's not new. it was given to me when I graduated from Bible college, and I've never used it. A common thing that preachers get is Bibles, ties, and shoes, and cards of encouragement and thank you, and I like them all. But this Bible, this is not the one I got from college. I got this a little bit later as a gift from a church in Germany. But my other Bible is falling apart, so I've started using it. It's got wide margins in it. And so I begin using it sometimes, write a little notes in there. So some folks like to use markers, pencils. I used to shade in blue, and anywhere that talks about certain topics you might want to choose. I use green for Christian growth, brown for the local church, purple for royalty, things like that when I study my Bible. And so now I've got one with a clean slate, nothing written in it at all. The only down part about it is if I can't remember exactly the text in my old Bible, I knew it was on the right side or the left side of the page, upper right or lower left corner. I don't know in this one. It's a whole different Bible. It's not a Thompson chain. It's a Cambridge, so it's a little bit different. But either way, I encourage you to make notes. I think it's good to get to know our Bibles well. And it's always a good thing when you pick up someone's Bible and it has a little bit of a musty smell, tear stains and other stains and markings and bleeding in it. That means it's well read and well used. But let's look in our text tonight, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Contented rest. Is that not some of the best rest that you can get? After a long day, whether it be just fatigue, travel, work in the yard, working a long day at work, but be able to lay down at the end of the day, to be satisfied and happy with all that's taking place and lay down and just drift right off to sleep. That's the kind of the rest that the Lord wants to give us, even in our daily life. When we're upright and walking around, that contented rest and resting in him. Here in Psalm 23 and verse 2 provides, I think, the help that we need to better understand and to enjoy our relationship with our chief shepherd. And I think so often we refer to Psalm 23 because it's familiar. We memorized it. Used to be at times, even when I was growing up, they used to quote that in some other psalms before ball games, after ball games, or at times when Christians got together or something that they knew. But what about studying it out and knowing the contents of it? You know, Christians are just like sheep. And I have heard the phrase and I've used the phrase frequently, I don't know why, in the month of June, and that is sheeple. Sheep and people together, sheeple. You know, we are sheep, and we, in some ways, are not as bright as they are by the way we respond, especially when we know better, and we end up having to learn again by our own mistakes as opposed to the mistakes that we see other people make. But just like sheep, we desperately need rest. And I'm not talking about just the rest of lying down and going to sleep, but resting in the comforting and know that we're secure in the center of God's will, doing what God wants me to do, resting in that. But see, dear friends, but rest only comes when we have peace. And so often we battle that aspect of rest and peace, peace and rest, because we don't know peace because we don't have the rest. We don't have the rest that we need because we don't have peace and wrestling with those things. The book of John, chapter 14 and verse 27, here we see the word of God, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. But yet, here it is right here in the word of God, but as we know, sometimes it's easier said than done. And it's strange as adults that somehow we lose the aspect of childlike faith. Not just childlike faith in trusting Christ, but how many of all at one time or another remember as a child or having children or having nieces or nephews or children that we know in the family or in the nursery or in the church, but in some form of knowing, where a child was scared to death, just trembling But when that person they know, that mom or dad, that aunt or uncle, that friend, that church member, that mentor can pick them up and scoop them up and comfort them that everything's okay, they believe you. I mean, they might still whimper for a few moments, but they're at rest and they know I'm in the arms of whoever it may be. And just a moment, they're just fine. But yet we as well, in our own hearts and minds, can get to a quiet place and allow ourselves to go to the arms of our Savior for comfort and rest, but yet we fail to do it. Or we don't have the faith to know that He will take care of those things. See, in the days that we're living in right now, life is anything but peaceful. I mean, it's hard to get away from some things of peace because of all that's going on in the world if we allow it to affect us. But that doesn't mean that we can't know peace. We may not have the peace right now, but we can know peace. And we need to remember that Jesus has promised to His disciples. Again, John chapter 16, a couple chapters over in verse 33. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So we need to understand and grasp the idea for His children. It's the Lord's will that we experience His peace in His rest. The question is, how do we do it? And we'll talk a little bit about that tonight as we have time. But I'm going to back up just for a moment for that aspect of living in this world and being involved and knowing peace, even though we may know peace, or know how to get peace, or know where peace is located. Do we allow ourselves to go there? Do we allow ourselves to be there at that place of comfort? And I think I spoke of this a little bit over last week or the week before. But wherever that place is, I wonder sometimes, do we visit enough? Do you have that place that you go to for prayer? Do you have that place you go to for your quiet time? And it doesn't have to be one place all the time. For example, I was giving Michelle a hard time the other day, but I used to have a chair in my office that I brought back from Germany, and I would sit in that chair with my coffee in the morning to have a time with the Lord, put my feet up, had a little stool, little gray chair, came from Europe, brought it with me, just because I always sat in it every morning with my coffee, with the Lord, and then later I read my Bible. But I've learned through time, right now things are a little bit tight in the house, we've moved some things around, and my chair's not there any longer. But that doesn't mean I still can't have that place. It doesn't have to be that corner and that chair in that room. It could be a number of places. I've discovered it could be in the recliner in my bedroom. It can be the off chair of my office. It could actually be out in my community on a little walk talking with the Lord. It's wherever I decide to go to spend time with God and seek Him and seek out that peace and allow the Lord to take away the cares, take away the concerns. And sometimes we don't allow ourselves to just turn off and just listen to the Lord. You know, I'm not trying to give you any new age stuff, but I want to give an example of how easy it is and how sometimes we look at other sources instead of looking to God for peace and quiet. I get distracted real easy. Real easy. I mean, I never put my glasses on my head. I always wear them because I'd be looking for them all the time if they went on my nose. I get distracted. I set reminders. Michelle's a great help. Put reminders on my phone. But we've all done it. We went across the room to look for something, put our glasses down, put our keys down, went somewhere else and turned the house upside down, looked for the keys that we left over by our cup somewhere else in the corner of the house. But when I was involved in playing sports and doing other things, I learned some techniques that were not at that time because I wasn't close to the Lord as I should have been. But I learned how to focus. And someone taught me how to focus and concentrate and shield out the noise that's going on. Now today, with the help of that, with the help of the Lord, I can sit in a room with 100 screaming kids. It don't bother me a bit. In my mind, I go somewhere else. Sometimes I need to be a little more attentive, especially if I'm in a room with 100 kids and I'm supposed to be the adult. Now, if I don't have to be the adult and I don't have to be responsible, I could go somewhere. And I think it should be the same way when we spend time with the Lord, that we find that place, we find that focal point where we can turn everything off, even though the noise is there, the static is there, whatever is there, is turn it off and be able to tune in and not allow those things to interrupt us. Now that I'm getting older, it's a lot easier because I'm deaf, and so I need to wear, I'm not deaf, but I'm not here as well as I used to, and I need to wear hearing aids. But you know, sometimes I choose not to wear them. It's work. really focusing and getting everything to be quiet. It's a lot easier when you can't hear to begin with and don't wear your hearing aids. It can be easier. But where, however we do it, whatever form we take, is finding that place, a walk, a corner, a chair, in a room, in the kitchen, wherever it may be that we can turn things off and say, Lord, give me the peace that only you can give. Give me the rest that you can rest. I need today to rest in your word, to digest your word, to gather some things, to get, not only give me peace, but to give me something for the day to help me through. There's so much in the word of God, folks. I don't care how many times you read it. If you keep reading it, you'll find something new. Or apply it in a different way. And that comes from spending time in the Word. So let's look a little closer about that question of how that we experience this peace. Number one, by recognizing the sheep's source of rest. Recognizing, that it's us, recognizing the sheep's source of rest. Again, here in verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Letter A, the source is found in the shepherd. Now, this is a sheep looking at the shepherd. Number one, by recognizing the sheep's source. Who is our source? It is him. He is the source. The shepherd is our source. It's not three girls in the home and a boy. I'm the same way. I struggle at times. My source of peace and rest is not the chocolate ice cream in the freezer. It is not the no-bake cookies. It is not, and whatever you want to point to for your comfort food or something to help you relax or whatever it may be, it's him. If we're not careful, we replace him with other things, and then we find ourselves running to those things for comfort, and we put God aside. There's nothing wrong. Look, I'd be the first one to enjoy ice cream and no-bake cookies, but it shouldn't come to the point that that's where we run to for a source of comfort. It's in him. The first word here in Psalm 23, verse 2, is the personal pronoun he. Got a little note here. Aren't you glad he knows the right pronouns? That personal pronoun, he. It's not we that gives me rest. It's not even me that gives me rest. It is he that gives me rest. Anything that we look for rest, anything that we look for peace that's not in him is just artificial and it's temporary. It's just short-lived. And so, again, it's he, it's not we, it's not me. And that's because nothing can substitute for a personal relationship with the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, there's so much out there artificial. There's so many things that we use to get away from the other. I mean, we're conditioned. I put artificial sweetener in my coffee. I put artificial milk in my coffee. I mean, we use other things all the time in place that we think it's better or it's healthier. There's nothing that we can put in a place of God that's better for our spiritual help. Nothing. And that's why it's so important that we run to him. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He provides the peace. He provides the comfort in Romans 5, 1. And then notice, apart from knowing Jesus in that special relationship, we will never have rest. It will always be looking for something else. It's knowing him, having a personal relationship, spending time with him, and allowing that relationship develop, allowing that habit to develop. If we're not careful, again, we look for other things. So often, addiction is one of those things where a person looks for satisfaction, peace, or just to numb the mind or just to escape. Is there anything wrong with escaping everything and just spending time with the Lord? If we want to escape, what better place than to escape to him and spend time in the Word? Memorize the Word. And be involved in learning new Scripture, rehearsing Scripture that you already know that you can recall in times of need or helping others. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Tired? Overrun, discouraged. He says, come unto me. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Dear friends, the source is found in the shepherd. We may look in other places. We may even think other things may appease and satisfy the taste, the thirst that we think we have. But why not the next time, instead of looking and opening the refrigerator and looking for something, why not closing it and just go sit down and pick up your Bible? In fact, if you've got an extra New Testament, go ahead and put it in the freezer so you see it the next time you open it. Let her be. The supply is found in the shepherd. The supply. Not only the source, but the supply is found in the shepherd. As we read again through Psalm 23, we find that every need of the sheep is provided for by the shepherd. And we looked at this earlier, talking about the writer who wrote a lot of the books in reference to sheep and sheep herding, and the aspect of them being cared for, and it's the same way. Every little thing, every need of the sheep is provided by the shepherd. But there's more, because every benefit expressed in this psalm is enjoyed by the sheep. Everything is enjoyed by the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides all of those things. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He provides the rest. I enjoy the rest. And there's where the problem is. There's the rub. He provides the rest, but do we take opportunity to enjoy the rest? It's there. It's opportunity. Let me look at it another way. I don't know about you, but as a kid, I hated taking naps. I don't know when it happened, but I get giddy if I got time to take a nap. I get a little bit excited. Can it really happen? The grandkids aren't here. The kids aren't here. All the kids are okay. They're at work. They're here. They're on vacation. I can put my phone on silent. They're already marked on favorite, so the kids call. It'll ring through if it's an emergency. Man, I'm going to go lay down for 45 minutes. I'm going to lay down for an hour and take a little nap. I get excited. But how many times do we think about that aspect, and then we think, man, do I really have the time? And then we talk about it, and then we debate it, and before we know it, 30 minutes has gone, oh man, I don't have time now. I wonder how often it's the same way that we debate, that we look for other areas for rest instead of just going right to the source of the Lord. Why? I mean, I really don't think as believers that we pray enough. I don't know that we talk to the Lord enough. We really don't. He maketh me to lie down by the green pastures. Again, in green pastures, he provides the rest. I enjoy the rest. The next part of that, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides the still waters. I enjoy the still waters. In fact, for this passage here, it's important because they say sheep will not drink out of running water. It has to be still. They're so scared and it spooks so easily that they'll run from a running brook. It has to be still waters. You know, sometimes the waters in our life are just a flowing like rampants, like rapids, and our mind is in turmoil, and we need it to be at peace and at rest. He provides it. But do we take advantage of that? Again, he restoreth my soul. He provides a restored soul. I enjoy a restored soul. If he's providing all these things, why aren't we enjoying them? Again, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. In verse 3, be for his name's sake. He provides the righteousness. I enjoy the righteousness. Do you see the pattern here? He provides, I enjoy. He provides, I enjoy. Guys, a lot kind of like at home. We roll out of bed in the morning. She fixes breakfast. We enjoy it. Ladies, you get in the car for a drive. He drives. You enjoy it. Well, some of you do. Some of y'all drive around with your husband. Oh, look out. You know, to panic. But it's the same way with the Lord. We enjoy some things that God provides and aids through other people that we say thank you. Thank you for providing that. Thank you for being a blessing. Thank you for being an encouragement. But do we take the time, and when's the last time we just said, Lord, thank you for the restored soul that I have. Lord, thank you for the rest that you gave me last night. Folks, I get up every morning, I swing out of my bed, I put on my house shoes and stand up, hoping that my feet don't hurt when I stand, because many mornings they hurt. You know, it's that thing that happens once in a while as we get older, but it gets better as the day goes on. I stand up, I make my way to the bathroom, wash my face, go get the coffee, and I say, Lord, thank you so much that I woke up alive. Thank you, Lord, that I'm able to stand and walk here to the kitchen to make this cup of coffee. Lord, thank you for the home that you've given me, a roof over my head. Lord, thank you that that I've got coffee here, easy to make and drink and enjoy. There's so many things that we just take for granted. Maybe our soul's not being restored. Maybe we're not enjoying some things because we're not even expressing the things that we have. You ever made the expression or thought, boy, they don't appreciate anything. I wonder how much time the Lord thinks about that on us. Do we appreciate the things he's provided? What about the rest that he gives our soul? The still waters, the calmness in life that he gives us. The righteousness that he's provided through his son. There's a definite pattern here. Are we enjoying it? Are we taking advantage of it? Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. See, he provides his presence in the face of fear. I enjoy his presence to overcome my fears. It's there. Do we take advantage of it? Again, he provides his presence in the face of any fear that we may have. I enjoy his presence to overcome my fears. Every time I read this passage, I can't remember if I've shared this example or not, but it's worth repeating. I think of a former pastor and a friend in Florida. His children did not have monsters under the bed. They had sharks in the closet. They live in Florida. Why it's not alligators under the bed, but it's sharks in the closet. And everything, he used this illustration one time about how his son in particular was just scared to death at night going to bed or open his closet in the morning because he was so sure where he got it from. To this day, he says, I still don't know. He's grown, he's graduated college, and he still can't tell me where he picked that up at, but he did for years. Dad would have to open the closet, show him there's no sharks. Son, in fact, there's no water in this closet. But he needed the security and the assurance and the rest that he knew that his dad could provide him as his dad as a boy, and he enjoyed it. And dear friends, we have a Heavenly Father that no matter what turmoil is going on in our world or what we may fear, we can enjoy his presence to help overcome our fears. Again, in verse 24, the next part, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He provides the rod and staff, and I enjoy their comfort. I don't know about you. I'd much rather him take that rod and staff to reach out and scoop me up and pull me in than to use it to discipline me. I enjoy when he uses the word of God. I enjoy when he uses books that I read. I enjoy when he uses preaching that I listen to, where the Lord reaches out and hooks me in under conviction and says, all right, you need to pay attention to this. You need to go back and read this. If you read your Bible and you feel like the Holy Spirit tugging at you and saying, hey, you need to park right here and study this out. If you don't do this, let me encourage you and challenge you. Do a word study in some of the passages that you study, especially the adjectives and the verbs. Study them out. See how they fit in and how they work in the rest of that passage or that paragraph and how rich the meaning is and the Lord is using that in that area. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Again, he provides the rod and the staff. I enjoy the comfort. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He provides a table. I enjoy the meal. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. He can provide our daily needs, even among our enemies, even those that are against us, even those that would not wish that we were not there. And I promise you, there are scores of missionaries around the world that can share stories where people are there would tell you, I don't want you here. But yet, he provide a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm going to take a few minutes and tell you the story. We were in the Republic of Moldova. Our visas were running out. And there's some paperwork we had to fill out, and it was difficult. My Russian was a little better than my Moldavian or Romanian. And Romanian and Moldavian is very, very close. I don't want to go into explaining the difference. I'll do that another time. But the Romanian and Moldavian language was very, very close. But my Russian was much better. And I remember going into an office where I needed one more stamp to get visas for my whole family to stay in a country for an extended period of time. I went in, waited my turn. There was two ladies that worked out front. One was a receptionist. One, I'm not sure what her role was. She might have been assistant to the chief. And I let them know who I was there. I went in and I greeted them in the Moldavian language, because even though they spoke Russian because of Russian rule, their heart language was Moldavian. So I greeted them in the Moldavian language, just kind of introduced myself, asked them about themselves and about their family. Then I got around to asking them who I need to see, and it was their boss in the other room. One of the girls went by to get him. He came out, and he refused to sign my document. The last thing we need is another missionary, especially you Americanos. He refused to sign them and berated me in front of everyone else in the room. I felt defeated, but yet the Lord was preparing the table among my enemies. I pause, and I do not know why. Instead of tucking my tail and walking out, I just stood there and looked at him. He laughed, went in his office, and slammed the door. The two young ladies that I was playing nice with when I first came in, using the Moldavian language, they went like this. And I went over. They apologized on his behalf. He's going on vacation next week. Come back. The Lord was preparing the table among my enemies. Went home, shared the story with Michelle. And before I can get finished the whole story, what are we going to do? Wait a minute, I haven't finished my story yet. Went back the next week. I came in, greeted them in the Moldavian language once again. They remembered who I was. And I politely asked, please forgive me. My Russian is better than my Moldavian. Can we switch? And they just lit up. You're trying to learn both our languages? I said, I'm trying, but I'm not succeeding very well. And they just chuckled and laughed. You're doing fine. We'll speak Russian. And she helped me out, signed the documents, got my visa, and I left. Never had to see that guy again. Time was time to go back again. It was another department. It was handled because we were getting longer-term stays at that time. He prepares the table among our enemies. But so often we get defeated and don't allow the Lord to do what only he can do. Let's see. Verse number 5. He anointeth my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He provides the anointed. I enjoy the blessing. Do we, again, that same aspect, are we allowing the Lord to do what he promises us to do? Surely goodness and mercy, verse 6a. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. He provides the goodness. He provides the mercy. I enjoy them all the days of my life. Isn't it wonderful to know that little ditty, that little song, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It's not always coming up roses, but in the end, we hang in there, we're obedient, and he sets the table before our enemies. Surely goodness and mercy makes its way in, but so often we get impatient or we don't look to the Lord as we should. Next part of verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He provides the mansion. I enjoy living there for all eternity. What a deal. What a deal. We may have to dwell here for a period of time, waiting upon the Lord, but why not take the time that we need? I think a lot of people are going to be surprised when they get to heaven. I really do. There's no citizenship called Baptist in heaven. I think we're all going to be surprised at who's there and who's not there. But there's one thing about it. It's going to be all about him. All about him. I mean, the surely goodness and mercy, there's no worry about setting a table before our enemies because everyone there is family and we're going to enjoy the banquet. We're going to enjoy him. And why not practice and get ready for it while we're here? When they're out there, when the enemies are there, when people rebuke us, when people give us a hard time, just remember, he prepares a table before mine enemies. It may not be on our timing. It may not be the way we want and the timing that we want, but if we'll just trust him and allow him to lead us, to guide us and direct us, what we need to do, we need to recognize the sheep's source of rest. The source is found in the shepherd, but most importantly, the supply is found in the shepherd. Dear friends, there's not a need that God cannot provide in his timing, in his will, but can we rest in him? We'll go ahead and stop there tonight and pick up. I'll have to prepare a little bit more. I don't have enough here next week to fill a whole half hour. We'll see. But we'll break there and have a word of prayer. Thank you again for your faithfulness and being here tonight. Looking forward to the Sunday service. And let's go ahead and begin. And next time that things aren't going well, the next time you get told no, the next time, whatever the case may be, just ask the Lord, Lord, could it be that you're preparing the table for my enemies? Could it be that you're doing something that I can't see yet? I'm just going to rest in you. I'm going to rest beside the still waters. I'm going to enjoy the green pastures. I'm going to allow you to restore my soul. And why not sit somewhere in a corner and say, Lord, I'm ready to be restored, and spend the time with him. Let's pray. Father, again, we come before thee with thanksgiving, the gratefulness and privilege we have to come together and worship and spend time together as a church family. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to rest in you. But Lord, also know that we can rest in knowing that our brothers and sisters in Christ, our church family, is there for us, to pray for us, to encourage us, to help us. And Father, help us also rest in knowing that you have prepared our family. And now, Father, believe us and bless as we dismiss. Give us a wonderful rest of the week. Help us, Lord, as we encourage and invite others, Lord, that you give us a wonderful Lord's Day on Sunday. Be with those that are traveling that will not be able to be with us for this holiday weekend. Give them safety. But Father, help us, Lord, come Sunday, to be at our best, with the right heart, the right mind, prepared to worship, Father, and anticipate excitement about what you are going to do through your people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Lord bless you.